This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
Never better. Great. How about you?
I'm great, man. No problem.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Nice day out. You look good.
Beautiful day. You as well.
Thanks.
As well. How do you feel? That's
feel
the important thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't feel tired or old or...
Oh, why are you asking?
Sometimes I feel tired or old.
Mm. You know, no, I feel fine.
So I keep 5-hour energies in here. If you need one...
Oh, you got some,
let me know. Yeah.
I try to stick to booze.
Well, we've got some of that, too. Yeah, whatever.
Always makes me feel better.
I hear people say it's a depressant, but it's, for you, it seems to be quite stimulating. So, I don't know. Isn't that how that stuff works?
Chemistry is different.
Yeah. A little bit is a stimulant. A lot. Aren't there lots of drugs like that? Where they say a little bit is a stimulant. A lot is a sedative. By the way, I ordered that very sketchy medicine that I ordered some, so I'll be sure to share it with you as soon as it comes in. I mean, Laszlo... First of all, I asked, you made me aware of this. I've never heard of this stuff in my life. We're not going to say the name of it.
Right.
I don't need to get sued by some kid, some kid's mom. But Laszlo texted me, I don't know, a few weeks ago on the way home and said, have you ever heard of such and such? And I was like, no. And so, but I could tell that it was probably some sort of drug or medicine by the name.
Right.
So I looked it up when I got to the house and start reading about it and find out, oh, it's this legal thing. Uh-huh. And it was created in another country.
Russia,
and
I think.
And it's still used over there.
Uh-huh.
We don't use it here because I don't know if it's the FDA or just the medical professionals in general. They think it's a little too risky. They don't like the side effects of it, right? But it doesn't not work. It's not one of these things where they say, like, they haven't shown that it does anything. They say, no, it does something.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely does something. They've just decided here, which makes you wonder, too, like, if an American drug company had... come up with this molecular structure, would they have said, okay, you've got it. Is that the real reason? I'm being a conspiracy theorist, but we have plenty of drugs that have plenty of side effects because I see the commercials every time I turn on TV. Half the commercial is all the side effects. So I find that hard to believe, but it works. And the weird thing is it's under that weird umbrella where they never banned it here. So they're allowed to sell it as a nootropic here,
mm-hmm.
a nootropic, however you're supposed to say it. So And you can find things like, if you go on Amazon, they'll sell things that try to make you think that's what it
but
is.
But it's not it.
But it's not really it. But you can buy the actual stuff on websites. You go to these websites, and you're like, boy, this seems like a good place to get my identity stolen or whatever. So what do? You turn back to AI again and go, well, where's the good place to buy this? It's like, here, one of these, I think it gave me three or four places, like it was hooked itself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I love this stuff. So I went to the first website. It said $20 for 20 tabs. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good deal or not, right? There's no street value on this because I've never heard of it. Right. And then, like, but the third website I went to, it said $10 for 20. So I was like, well, that's a better deal. And literally the picture that it shows of what I'm supposed to receive, it's in a Russian prescription. It's Russian. It's all in Russian. Yeah. And it's like in a prescription, like a box. It looks like the European prescriptions, like the samples that you get here at the doctor's office. That's what it looks like. And they say it's perfectly legal as long as you know that, hey, these things have not been whatever looked at by the FDA or evaluated. And it's not never been marketed here because they're worried about the side effects.
To me, when I learned about it, I asked you because everything that they were talking about sounded and felt like Kratom before Kratom got sold in strip malls.
Yeah, a little
bit. With signs that say CBD, vape, Kratom. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is like almost the same thing. When you were telling me about Kratom the first time, it was like, I don't know, dudes in Thailand take it. I'm like, all right, man.
Which is exactly the reaction I'd have.
On the cob with the mohawk.
Right. The first bag of guys. Because the first time I was told, I won't say who it was, and he was like, you ever heard of this Kratom? Or maybe it's Kratom stuff. He starts telling me what it is. I was like, dude, get out of my face. Right. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, this is just St. John's wort or whatever. Right. I'm not interested.
Yeah. No, not interested. And then finally,
guy. You made me take it. I was like, oh, there is something in there. Something in there. I don't know what it is, but there's something in there.
Yeah.
And doesn't this feel like the same thing? They're like, hey, people in Russia still do it all the time. I'm like, all right,
seems like there's, whatever. Seems like there's quite a few nootropics out there that are actually just drugs that aren't marketed here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. Like, there's something that's, I think, there's some sort of amphetamine. There used to be. I saw this in a documentary about nootropics, or maybe it was a special about nootropics. Is it nootropics or nootropics?
Who cares?
You're asking. Yeah, whatever. The newt things. And they were talking about, you know, the different, some of the kind of more powerful ones that are available, and the ones that are more expensive. And one of them was, like, they were saying, this is amphetamine. This is Adderall. It's Vyvanse. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Vyvanse. It's one of those drugs. And they said, it's called this. And these guys who sell nootropics that were in this documentary talking about ordering this stuff from these countries, it comes in powder, they turn it into pills, whatever, and they're allowed to sell it. And, of course, the news is like, can you believe? Aren't you shocked? Aren't you worried? And I was like, I can't believe it. Aren't you excited? Isn't this great? We can just order this stuff online? Yeah. That's how it should be. We say we're free all the time.
And, you know, look, love Trump or hate him, he's got a good relationship with Russia, so he's not going to stop
him. That's true. Just because if this thing takes off like Kratom did, because we're running
Trump
our ain't
gonna be like,
mouths
no,
about
you
it.
You can't buy. He's going to be like, this stuff is good for you.
Yes, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So I'm just going to refer to it as Sputnik from now on.
Okay, good.
And when it gets here, you're trying some because you pushed this on me. We're going to do it together. The Church of Laszlo. I don't know why we're reminiscing on brands, clothing brands that you had to have if you wanted to be cool when you were a kid. I know it varied by decade. We're just going down memory lane. I mean, we've talked about that before. It's some of the brands that I recall not being as popular still when I was a kid because of our age difference. There's like, because most of the stuff is about the same, but you had a couple like Jordache jeans for girls. There was stuff like that that was only a short window in the 80s, I guess, whenever that was, and it didn't really carry over into the 90s. And the 90s had plenty of its own stuff. A lot of it was skate company, skateboard related or surf related, which is funny because I'd say 99% of the kids at school who wore that stuff were neither. Obviously, they weren't surfers. We lived in Kansas City, so that was kind of off the table, unless you had a private jet. And then for the skate stuff, I mean, the kids who really wore a lot of those clothes, it started in elementary school. It went into junior high, but it was elementary school. I remember kids starting to be concerned about brands.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
It's like fifth grade, somewhere around there, where you start to want to have that cool brand.
It was Abercrombie. That was
in high school
phase. Yeah.
How old were you?
That was like fourth, fifth, and sixth grade.
Okay. Yep. I was in ninth grade.
American Eagle, Hollister.
Yep. Some of that stuff's still around.
Abercrombie was the big one. Like, that was huge back then.
Yeah, it was huge, huge. My girlfriend at the time in ninth grade bought me an Abercrombie shirt because she wanted me to dress better. So I bought her, no kidding, because I was kind of offended by it. She bought me a long-sleeve Abercrombie shirt, and she bought me Tommy Hilfiger boxers. And she was like, you know, basically try to dress better. So I bought her a Korn jersey. It was a black jersey, and it was like a mesh jersey, and it said Korn on it. And she bought me a long sleeve Abercrombie shirt. You know what I mean? That's a little. You're saying like, look, we're together, but I don't like you, and I'd like you to change. I mean, women want men to change. That's fine. You're supposed to be a little more subtle than just immediately saying, here, wear this thing that no one can possibly imagine seeing you in. And did I look better in it? Probably. Yes.
Did you wear it a lot?
I wore for her. Like, if we went on dates, I think I wore it on a few dates. But other than that, no.
Wait, Netflix making a Korn documentary?
Are they?
Apparently.
Is that according to Twitch?
Yeah.
Nice. There you go. I could use some more music documentaries. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from the true crime guy. But if these documentaries are so cheap to make, which is what I hear all the time, and the streaming services love them because they're cheap, then yeah, do more music ones. Speaking of streaming services, that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, but I saw that, I think it's The Independent, I don't know, I'll tell you who it is here in a second, but this morning they put out the greatest movie openings of all time.
Mm.
You know, I've heard, like, greatest scenes in movie, greatest
Lost
lines in movie, greatest endings.
Lost in Translation is the best opening scene.
I don't remember if that was on the list or not. You know, that was one of those movies that everybody loved. I watched it, I was like,
not me.
I guess,
I don't love the movie, but the opening scene is just Scarlett Johansson and underwear for...
So you didn't love that movie though, just out of curiosity. I didn't really understand it. But that happens to me a lot. A lot of popular movies. I'm like, oof, boy, I don't know if I should tell people I like that or not. It's like the more you don't get it, the more concerned you become that maybe you should tell people you liked it. But then if you do and they ask a follow up question like, what did you like about it? Then you're really screwed. But the greatest movie openings of all time, the greatest scenes in movies we've talked about, and you know, Val Kilmer just passed away. I still think one of the greatest scenes, if not the greatest scenes in a movie, is in Tombstone when Val Kilmer shows up to that gunfight and surprises, what's his name, Ringo, Johnny Starr, whatever. I love that scene. That's probably my top. But greatest openings, I go, okay, well, I know I have a limited kind of library here that I go to, but I do love the opening of Pulp Fiction. I mean, it's great. And when the music hits, you got the surf rock guitar, right, and it kind of freeze frames, and you get. I just thought it was, but I was also really young, so I didn't have a whole lot to compare it to. But I remember thinking like that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and I still think it's cool. But I'll tell you what these official people, these very intelligent people, say are the greatest movie openings of all time. In a second,
the Church of Laszlo.
The movie I picked was still playing. I had to watch it.
I'm not surprised by your choice at all. I've known you a long time. That movie's come up several times.
That is but it's the greatest opening scene.
It's good. The truth is, when you first talked about that movie, I remember it was years ago, and I was like, I'm aware of that movie. I don't recall anyone saying that movie's any good. Like, it wasn't one that I felt like I'd missed or whatever. And then you brought it up a few more times, and you tell me these lines, these scenes, and I was like, all right, I need to watch this movie. So I finally watched it because of you. But I had not seen it before, you know, you started talking about it.
It's Ryan Phillippe or whatever. It's Benicio Del Toro. Sarah Silverman is screaming at him.
That's the opening.
Yeah, that's the very first scene. He's leaning on a car and the alarm's going off. And Sarah Silverman's like, get off the car. It's great.
Yeah. For people who don't know, I'm sure you can look it up on YouTube. I'm guessing that's what Laszlo just did.
I just did. I the opening scene.
Yeah. So this is the Independent. That's who did this list. I think.
Did they have the way of the gun? Because if not, then it sucks.
Well, I don't. You know, I didn't see it. Maybe there's a deeper list somewhere.
Do you have the way of the gun opening, Snow Cone, for Christ's sakes?
I know
because I don't know what you're going to compare to it.
I don't know how there'd be a lot of censoring, wouldn't it?
Well, just the part where he says, "Shut your up, or I'm going to start her head."
Right, which is what makes it the greatest opening in your mind. That's it.
It's great.
Right, so with all that bleeped, it's difficult for people to really understand. Some of the movies that made the list, we'll focus on the top 10. Some of the movies that made the list, The Matrix was on there. Scream was on there. Scream is...
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And just to go back to Matrix real quick, that was, you know, I don't know how much money that movie made in theaters, but I remember that we got a new movie theater in Lee Summit, and when they had their grand opening, they played movies that were a little bit older, but were not yet out on video. So they were 50 cents or something like that to do this grand opening. They even played Wizard of Oz, and some of the little people were there. They were still alive at the time. The lollipop world or whatever. But Matrix was what me and my buddies went and saw. We didn't know much about it. We'd seen trailers for it. And I remember that opening scene. I remember walking out of there and all of us being like, that was like... It felt like what I imagined my older brothers felt like when they saw Star Wars at the theater, you know, not knowing exactly what to expect. I just thought, this is amazing. And, of course, the opening scene is great. So Scream, another one of those. I think I was 15 or 16 when that came out, and my buddy had already seen it, said, you have to go see it. You have to go see it. So he took me, and that's still, I think, not just one of the greatest openings. It's probably the best opening for a horror movie right? I mean, it's great. And in the moment, you think, well, yeah, but this isn't a real horror. It's kind of a satire. But looking back on it now, it's
it
was a perfect horror movie. Star Wars, the opening Star Wars. Trainspotting. Trainspotting's great. You know, he's got the quote and all that. Sure. Zoolander, The Incredibles, The Thing. So the top 10, okay? And keep in mind, this magazine's, you know, British, so I don't know that we're going to agree with all this.
Okay.
But A Touch of Evil, 1958. Sorry, okay, I don't go back that far. I'm not
Quentin Tarantino. I'm sure Sunset Strip is on there.
You know, I don't...
Any list is always Sunset Strip.
It wasn't in the top 10, so I wonder if it was further down there somewhere. But All That Jazz, 1979. Mm. The Godfather, I think, even though it's from 1972, I believe we are all familiar with The Godfather. Inglourious Bastards, maybe, I mean, it's one of my favorite scenes in a movie ever, and it certainly deserves to be, don't you think, on the best opening scenes.
You're sheltering enemies of the state, are you not?
Yes.
You're sheltering them underneath your floorboards, aren't you?
I mean, that whole juxtaposition of, like, he's asking for the milk, and he's being friendly, but as soon as you see him, he's got the SS uniform on. You know he's a bad guy, and you don't know, at first, you don't know exactly what's going on. You know, he shows you later that there's people hiding in there, but the amount of tension, the way that he was able to build tension, like, with humor, it's great, but I would say my favorite probably on this list is still to come. But There Will Be Blood is on the list at number 6. That's one of Snowcone's favorites.
It is.
Right? Big PTA fan. Uh-huh. Then number 5. I think if off of the top 10 here, this is one I would probably think should have gotten first. But Goodfellas. I mean, the opening of Goodfellas is legendary.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
It's the greatest opening line.
Open that trunk and there's a body in it. And even the way that music plays, you're like, okay.
It's my favorite mob movie. I prefer it over The Godfather. I know that's somewhat sacrilege, but it's just so rewatchable. And it is one of those that when you see it on cable, even with the commercials or whatever, you're like, I'll just watch a little bit more of this because I just happened to land on it. You know, I just can't turn it off.
I watched two great ones the other day. We're talking about mob movies. But in the last 2 weeks, I've watched Donnie Brasco again.
I saw that within the last year.
Unbelievable. And Casino.
Yep. Love Casino. Love. I just watched Donnie Brasco within the last year, too, and it just reminded me of how I talked to
someone. That might have one of the best ending scenes. It's not the absolute end, but it's where Al Pacino gets up and he's getting his keys. He's been called for. And he says, tell Donnie, if it was going to be anybody, I'm glad it was him.
Yeah.
Like, what a scene that is. He tells his wife that.
Really makes me hate undercover cops, that betrayal. I'm not saying that it's not important work.
Right.
And there's that undercover cop making the rounds now because he did a podcast and he's got a book out and I see him everywhere. He's on Rogan and all that. And he seems like a very nice guy. And a guy who could easily stomp me into the ground. But I hear those stories and I go, man, to become friends with the family and you're playing with their kids and all that.
And even in that movie, if you go back to it, and again, I got you off track, but when they go back and they show, you know, all the mobster guys, the pictures of Donnie being a cop.
Yeah.
And then they walk outside, smoke a cigarette, and they're like, they almost got me. Donnie's not a cop. They don't know Donnie.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they love that guy. They loved him.
Yep. It's,
and even when the FBI came in and said, he's a cop, you idiot, they didn't believe him.
No, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You're rooting for him so much.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just the whole thing. Yeah. I'm like, I couldn't do it. I understand why people think it sounds like fun.
You know, when his wife said, you're acting like him, he said, well, I am them.
Right.
Yeah, so.
You can see what would happen. You betray not just someone, but a whole group of people to that level. And imagine that you kind of like these people.
And he did.
Which he obviously did in that instance. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah. I it would be hard. It would be hard to come out with the truth. I might just say, you know what? I'm throwing this wire. I'm so sorry I did this to you, but I'll destroy all this evidence, and I'm never going to testify. So greatest movie openings of all time. So Goodfellas was 5. Number 4 is Blade Runner, the original Blade Runner, which is really just the visuals. And trying to imagine seeing that in 1982 when they're showing that kind of establishing shot of the Tyrell Corporation. You look at it now, of course it looks a little bit dated, but it still, I think, holds up. I watched it not too long ago because I wanted to rewatch the sequel that they did with Ryan Gosling in it, and so I kind of watched them back to back. And yeah, it looks old, but it is still something to see. And if you haven't seen it, I think, you know, if you watched it for the first time now, if you're into sci-fi at all, I would think you'd enjoy it. Number 3, a lot of people's favorites. A lot of people. I think my brothers are really into this movie. My ex was really into this movie. Just a lot of people my age, around my age, really into Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones. You know, I didn't hate it. I don't.
That's fine.
But I was never, as a kid, it never hooked me the way that it did so many people. Like when they announced that they were doing another one recently, I had no, like, I shouldn't say no. I had very close to no interest. I haven't seen it, so how's that? And it's been out for years now. But I was never an Indiana Jones guy. Are you, Snellcone? Is anybody in here an Indiana Jones guy?
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, I forget. Yeah. I forget. There's
I've
a bunch of those
them,
you skipped.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it's fine. And maybe I need to rewatch the first one. I don't know, but it just didn't get me as a kid. Number 2, I'm not surprised, is on the list. 2001, A Space Odyssey. And that's, of course, the apes discovering the monolith and you know, fighting one another and all that. It's certainly iconic. I mean, if we're saying greatest or most iconic, I would think most iconic would have to go to 2001. That's
I mean, yeah, it's
that's
still
as
quoted
iconic
like a
as
weird
it gets.
Thing, and people don't even see it.
Right. Know? If I say it, as soon as we talk about the apes and the monolith, even if you've never watched the movie all the way through, you can visualize. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And you've heard it discussed numerous times on television shows, radio shows, whatever. So that's, I'm kind of surprised not number one. But for number one, they went with a Western. And they went with Once Upon a Time in the West. 1968, Charles Bronson. Now, look, I do like Charles Bronson. As a kid, I remember somehow Charles Bronson's name came up. And I think somebody was talking about Death Wish. And I don't know how old I was, young. And I was like, who's Charles Bronson? And my brother's like,
all the Death Wishes,
you don't know who Charles Bronson is? Yeah. And so he explained, like, Death Wish. And then my dad is even talking about it. Like, my dad's excited about it. Yeah, it's Death Wish. So, you know, he puts quarters in a sock and I'm like, okay, is it great?
He's got the same vibe to me as Steve McQueen. I'm like, I get it.
Right.
You know, but just a little bit before me.
Yeah. And he's like, well, it's just, you got to understand, Charles Bronson is just so cool. He's just so cool. I mean, he did a lot of movies.
Not
were great, but he was just so cool. And so I went back and watched a lot of those. I don't know that I've seen all of his movies. I'm sure I haven't, but I watched a lot of them. And I've seen Once Upon a Time. And I'm positive that when I watched Once Upon a Time in the West, it was because I had just heard Quentin Tarantino talking about it, I'm sure. And then I went, okay, I haven't seen that. Got to watch it. And if you haven't seen it, the whole opening scene is there's really no dialogue for I don't know how long. You see, it's all this established inside of this train station. You see these guys standing around. The train finally shows up. You finally see Charles Bronson. There's harmonica being played. And that in and of itself kind of became iconic. And that leads to this massive shootout with all these guys at the train station. So they said that's number one. I mean, putting it on the list is one thing.
I'm going the way of the gun.
Lazo's going way of the gun.
If you haven't seen it, you need to watch them.
I'm going Goodfellas. At least of the ones on the list.
Goodfellas number 2 for me, for sure.
That's just, I don't know. And Snowcone is going with, what did you say, Zoolander?
I'll go Inglourious Bastards or
E.T.
Lost in Translation.
E.T., yeah. I'm just looking through some of the other ones that didn't make the top, but we're still on the list. The Spy Who Loved Me. They put The Incredibles from 2004, and I don't remember what the opening was. I know that I liked that movie just fine. They had No Country for Old Men on there, I know, somewhere, and I do love that movie. I might I don't know. Yeah, that's a good opening scene, I suppose. Birth, never heard of it.
No, don't care.
Star Wars, I think I
don't
said
care.
That's about. It. Oh, Vertigo was the other one. That's the classic. That's the classic that I'm not that familiar with. And I know Snowcone is here. It is number 12. It almost made it. The Dark Knight. That's a great opening.
Yep.
Criminals in this town used to believe in things, honor, respect. Look at you. What do you believe in, huh? What do you believe in?
I believe whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you stranger.
Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Headlines is presented by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Enjoy Casey's best burgers, steaks, and pasta while you catch the game at Brew Brothers.
Yo.
The news, my man. Well, you know, if you go to any news website, it's tariff stuff. I mean, that's what everybody's talking about. Everyone's asking the president about. And everything somehow seems to come back to that, whether it's, you know, people panic buying stuff now like they were doing during COVID, if they're actually doing that. They say that some people are. I don't know. I haven't seen any empty shelves yet, but we'll get to that. But, you know, they keep coming to the president. Hey, are you going to pause this stuff? Are you going to negotiate? Some CEOs have asked you to maybe pause these tariffs. And now you got this 104%, whatever it is, tariff on China that's going to be going into effect. And China's had some strong words like, you know, people are getting worried. And he says, I know what I'm doing. As if he needed to say that, he says, I know what the hell I'm doing.
I know what the hell I'm doing. You know what I'm doing, too. That's why you vote for me.
After some White House officials initially said the tariffs were not a bargaining chip,
this is not a negotiation.
The president's message is now clear, boasting that nearly 70 trading partners are looking to make deals.
I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They
Jesus,
are,
man.
They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal.
Man, oh man.
So that's what he said, right? So he came out a couple hours ago and said, basically, China, you're mean.
Yeah.
Like, you're bad for, I don't know, global economics.
Yeah.
And so I'm sticking you with 125%.
Yeah, you've been
And for these
anyway.
Other countries, you guys haven't been so mean, so I'm going to give you a 10% discount and pause it for 90 days so we can figure out what's going on, right? That's basically what he said.
Exactly what they've been begging for. I don't remember which CEO. One of these heads of banks or something. He's a billionaire. I know that. He had been apparently speaking to the president directly and saying, look, could we at least get a 10% across the board? Either pause it or do like a 10% across the board until we figure something else out, right? And it seems like now maybe that's what they're going to get. And if you go back to
that's
stock
what he said
market,
they're going to get.
Right. But
a 90
again,
day pause, 10%, and 125 on China.
Right. But again, this is just like day to day. You know, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And they were talking about the stock market and how much it's swung in the last few days. Why didn't it swing earlier? When Trump said that he was going to put all these tariffs in place, why didn't the stock market really react to that? And they said it's because investors at the time were like, we don't know if he's really going to do it.
Right.
We don't know when he's going to do it. And then when he does it, you hear these business owners who say things like, I don't know if I should move a factory because I don't know how long these tariffs are going to be in place. Will this last for 4 years? Will it last 10 years? Will it last for 4 days? I just don't know. And like the very first company or I guess product that I saw them talking about, because they've been discussing which things are going to get more expensive and how long it'll take for that stuff to get more expensive. I saw someone put together a video that's worth watching of how much it costs to build like a normal American car, an F-150, best-selling car in America, right? Or best American selling car, at least. And you know, there's so many parts that come from all these different places, and could this possibly be something that he's going to leave in place? So there's that fear, and eventually, once he said he was doing it, the stock market did exactly what it did. There were plenty of people, though, who I get the impression thought, he's not going to keep this up. He's not going to keep it up. He doesn't want the stock market to tank. He says, I played that clip yesterday where he's like, you know, I don't care about the stock market. And like, you know, he says that, but he does. He doesn't want the economy to tank under him, and he wouldn't, he's not going to stick with this if he thinks it's going to continue to disrupt the economy this much because he doesn't want it under his watch. I would buy that. You know, I think he cares about his legacy and being, you know what I mean?
I think it just depends on what he thinks it is.
Yeah.
Like, I think if he thinks, and by the way, I don't know the answer. Again, I mean, everybody on both sides think they know the answer. I've never studied the long-term effects of tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, if you ask me what I thought about the White Sox, I'd tell you. I've studied it, but I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know, maybe his legacy is like, hey, I'm going to stick these tariffs. We're going to bring back, you know, a national economy with plants here and build stuff here and make things here. And, yeah, it's going to be tough for 2 years, but when I get out of here, people are going to be like, you won, you beat China, and we build goods here. And maybe that works. Like, I'm not, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, you know, people on the left say it won't. People on the right say it will. I don't know, but it's kind of like, is he willing to struggle for this short term if he believes that making us, you know, a populist nationalist country and we build stuff and use our own products here cements his legacy for eternity?
Yeah.
I got to believe if he believes that's the case, and I don't know if he believes that or not, but if he really believes that and has bought that as like a sound economic policy, then I would say he's going to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
I
mean, like, he's going to be like, hey, this is my last 4 years. I can't run again. And if when Donald Trump leaves office, it's like, we finally build goods in America again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think he'd like that to be his legacy.
Sure.
But I think he, you know, obviously it's a giant risk.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't work, then it's like, well, you just...
And he's in one that he wouldn't know in his lifetime necessarily, right?
You crushed the country, right?
Yeah, yeah. One of the big things that maybe pushed this, because, of course, once he says, we're pausing this, the stock market applauds, you know, it surges, a lot of stocks have gone up, and one of the stocks that I saw them specifically talking about earlier was Warner Brothers and Netflix and some of these studios, because with all the stuff going back and forth with China, China had said, like, we are... What do they say? We have the abundance in means or something like that. Basically, we'll fight back, and we have the ability to fight back, and you don't scare us. And they started to make threats about things that they would, obviously the tariffs that they would impose, and maybe even banning certain things in China that aren't already banned. And one of those things was movies. And if we ban Hollywood movies in China, that's a huge source of revenue for the studios. Yeah. And when they threatened, like, we might just ban Hollywood.
Cheap goods from China will cost U.S. consumers more for the things used in every American home. Target deals with 2,500 factories here, and 80% of all toys in the U.S. are made in China. China's Commerce Ministry said the country has a firm will and abundant means to fight a trade war with the U.S. Chinese officials have announced more tariffs, rising them to 84% on U.S. imports. There's also talk of a ban on Hollywood films here. And trade has long been a pillar of the U.S.-China relationship, and it's breaking.
So when they said the Hollywood thing, I feel like that obviously spooked Hollywood. I don't know what the percentage is of their revenue. I know that they're willing to make a lot of concessions in their films in order to get them. And those Chinese censors will go through those movies, and they take a lot of criticism, right? South Park has criticized them for a very long time. But they do it because it's a huge source of revenue. When they see, yeah, when they see what the opening weekend is here in the United States, or even just how it's doing in the United States, they seem to be more concerned with, okay, but how's it going to end up doing in China? Because it's the largest market. It's massive. I don't know what that percentage can break down to for especially companies like Disney, but Warner Brothers stock, I mean, some of these stocks, Warner Brothers stock is up like almost 20%. Just since Trump said we'll pause for 90 days, their stock is up like 20%. Netflix stock up 6%. The studios, but for that matter, you know, the entire stock market is surging because of this. And I mean, I don't know that there's a whole lot more information about what the future holds. He just posted on Truth Social that, hey, we're going to take this 90 days, whatever he said on Truth Social. Thank you for your attention to this matter, Trump said on Truth Social. We'll do a 90-day pause. We'll do 10%. So thank you for your attention to this matter. Now, the fun thing that I told you had come out of all this was this beef between Elon and Peter Navarro. Now, Peter Navarro is, let me make sure that I get this title right. He's the senior counselor for trade and manufacturing to Donald Trump. So he's the one who presumably comes up with these ideas about tariffs and stuff, right? And he's also, Wikipedia calls him a conspiracy theorist. He's been around a while. And he also is kind of known for, he wrote at least a book. I don't remember if it was multiple books, but he wrote a book where he talked about different economic principles and kept citing the source. And it turns out later, journalists, whomever it was, they looked into it and discovered that this source that he kept citing was himself. He changed his name. So he had like this alias. And of course, liberal media
Ron
went
Vera.
After him. Ron Vera. And you will hear Elon talk about Ron Vera when they talk about this back and forth and this tweet from Elon. It started with Peter Navarro, I think, started it by saying that Tesla's not a real car manufacturer. They just assemble stuff with parts from other
Peter
places.
Peter Navarro, President Trump's top trade advisor, calling the Tesla CEO not even a car manufacturer, but a car assembler reliant on parts from other countries. Musk, meanwhile, just posted on X, quote, Navarro is truly a moron. What he says here is demonstrably false. Tesla is the most vertically integrated auto manufacturer in the United States of America. Navarro should ask the fake expert he invented, Ron Vera.
So there you go. He makes reference to the Ron Vera thing. So then people are like, wait, Elon is like Trump's guy.
Right.
But Navarro is like Trump's guy. So does he have to pick sides here?
Say?
What's he going to do? So, you know, of course, the media starts asking the press secretary about this very issue. And it, you know, at least when they asked, she said that Trump was not upset about this. She said, boys will be boys.
There's been some public sparring between Elon Musk and Peter Navarro. Musk actually referred to Navarro today as being dumber than a sack of bricks. Is the administration, the president, all concerned that this is maybe impacting the public's understanding of these tariffs?
No, look, these are obviously two individuals who have very different views on trade and on tariffs. Boys will be boys, and we will let their public sparring continue. And you guys should all be very grateful that we have the most transparent administration in history, and I think it also speaks to the president's willingness to hear from all sides.
There you go, willingness to hear from all sides, transparency, and boys will be boys. Now, I've seen some other headlines since then that have said maybe there will be something that comes with this, but it is a pretty public feud. I don't know who the advisor on trade was, right, to Bill Clinton, and if they got into a fight, but it is kind of fun to watch these, you know, high ranking billionaire, rich people, whatever, getting in these, because we have social media now too, which makes it more possible. He could have called someone dumber than a bag of hammers in the 90s in a room somewhere.
Yeah, but that's why we have it. The guy owns it. I mean, that's how they get their message across. Trump's putting in tariffs and taking them away on Truth Social.
Right. Exactly.
Right? So it doesn't just surprise me that it sounds to me like that's what Elon Musk would have said to that dude in a room.
Exactly.
Like, you're a dumb box of hammers, and now they're just like, just put it on Twitter. Let it go.
Yep.
Let it go on X, and people can read it, and I think Trump honestly wins because of that. They're like, oh, your two guys are fighting, and he's like, yeah, well, I'm fighting.
Yes.
I listen, like, exactly like she said, I listen to both of them, and I'll make the decision. I'm the guy who makes the choice, but I'll listen to both of them. It sounds to me like, you know, he wins when that happens.
So you believe that Trump's not bothered by that at all? That he's not mad at either one
No,
of them.
Not in that instance. Do I think Trump and Elon are going to clash at some point? I think there's no way they don't.
Yeah.
But I think this, I think he likes Elon. I think the only way that he would have liked it better if Elon would have tweeted it at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, keep them talking. Let's go.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Headlines is presented by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Enjoy Casey's best burgers, steaks, and pasta while you catch the game at Brew Brothers.
Yo.
The rest of the news.
Do it.
Well, I guess there's been some talk. You know, Trump doesn't like fentanyl coming into the country from Mexico and, I guess, Canada and China. That was a big part of all the tariff stuff originally, was that these countries weren't doing enough to stop fentanyl. And he's been very critical of Mexico's attempt at keeping drugs out of the United States and keeping cartels under control. So he has, I guess, floated the idea of droning cartels in Mexico, like, you know, drone strikes, right? We got the drones, I'm sure.
They've got the cartels.
It's a match made in heaven. Yep. I guess the president of Mexico has said, hey, don't do that.
Mexico
do that.
Is responding to yesterday's report that President Trump is considering drone strikes against drug cartels there. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum says her country rejects unilateral U.S. military action in Mexico, and that military strikes against those cartels, quote, would not resolve anything.
Okay, now I can see why a country would say, hey, we don't want another country doing drone strikes in our country. I get that part.
Yeah, you wouldn't want, you know, Canada doing drone strikes on, you know, gang warfare here.
Right, exactly. So I understand that part. But like when she says
blowing out Little Italy in New York, you're like, right. You know, those mobsters.
Exactly. Right?
You
exactly.
You wouldn't want that.
We don't like that. But when she says, when she adds that also it wouldn't accomplish anything, well, I mean, it would accomplish something. If you had the right intel, if you were blowing up houses full of cartel members.
Sure, maybe, I don't know, but I don't know that you could just blow up the cartel. There's always going to be drugs.
Sure.
I would think if I were there, I'd be like, hey, why don't you use that money and send your people to rehab? You guys love drugs in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, you love it. You're like, why is it all coming here? Because you want it.
I know, she said
that. By the way, guilty as charged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, don't stop that.
Right. If you want to fix it, then let the pharmaceutical companies make it.
More for pants, fine, but don't stop the drugs coming.
Yeah, that's exactly what we don't want. I'm right. willing to pay more if you're going to bring manufacturing jobs.
Have the, you know, everything costs more. I'm not going to be able to do anything, and now I'm not even going to be able to get drugs?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, why don't we just start? Well, you want to bring manufacturing jobs back here? Why can't we make cocaine? I don't know how hard it is to grow those plants, but I feel like we could do it, right? We could make that stuff here. Let's legalize that stuff, regulate it, and then you can get rid of the cartels.
Too brainy, and nobody wants to hear that crap, so shut it.
Just
all we're saying is just don't stop the drugs.
Yeah.
You're like, let's legalize. Okay, look, you want to turn it into a news hour with Jim Lair or something, you jackass. Fine, but I'm not.
Create some jobs, that's all. Just,
why don't you just create some drugs, you f***ing idiot?
Well, that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
That's exactly
what I
wanted to do.
Legalize it. Stop it.
Let them make it. Well,
just let the drugs come across the border.
I'm fine with that.
Jesus Christ, we don't got to turn it into a jobs.
I'm fine with that. The Easter Bunny. I don't have a problem with the Easter Bunny, but I never took my picture with the Easter Bunny. That wasn't a thing. We went and saw the Mall Santa, but I don't recall ever taking pictures. I don't recall seeing any pictures of us with the Easter Bunny. So if we did, I don't remember. Easter was... we went to church. We always went to church on Sunday, so that part, I guess, wasn't different. But that day, we got the Easter basket with the candy in it. Mm. Other than that, it wasn't like a huge day. We obviously did like Easter egg hunts, I think, at school. Didn't you do Easter egg hunts at school, maybe?
I don't think so.
Or is that not allowed because it's religious?
We did it at my house, I guess.
Maybe we just did it at the house.
I think, relatives came over and we had ham. I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem like a ham day, like a day that my mom would make a ham. That's probably right. And then I knew there were a few kids who got like a lot of presents on Easter, and it was like a big deal for them. And so I was a little jealous of them. But for us, it was all about the candy. I didn't have a problem with the Easter Bunny, that's for sure. But these three teens in Naples, they did. I don't know. In Florida, they decided to chase this Easter Bunny down. Now, this Easter Bunny happened to be a girl in her mid-20s who was inside the Easter Bunny suit.
Where was she?
She wasn't. She's in a mall doing like the photographs with the kids, in the middle of the mall there. And I guess they started chasing her down, pulling her costume, and attacking her. And, of course, you get this headline that three kids attacked the Easter Bunny.
Attack on a popular children's character who spreads joy this time of year. Three teens are in trouble tonight, accused of roughing up the Easter Bunny at the mall.
Simply put, it's an unprovoked attack, just like what it sounds.
Accused of roughing up the Easter Bunny.
Easter Bunny did.
Do you think, though, I'm just going back to when I was 13, do you think that if they knew that it was a girl in the costume, they would have behaved differently?
It's not
they
a boy or a girl, it's a bunny.
I understand that. But they thought there's a guy in a costume, right? And they're
I don't think they thought about it. They were just hitting a bunny.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay, when your kid's 13 years old, so if he got in trouble for he and two of his friends going to the mall and chasing down the Easter Bunny, I mean, the worst part really is that it makes headlines, right? That kids attack Easter Bunny. But because he's a minor, they don't put his name in there, so no one has to know that it's him. Now, problem is your friends with kids, they're going to know. Yeah, the word will spread.
Yeah, you don't want your kid kicking the Easter Bunny's ass.
It's not a great look. There's worse things, though.
Oh, there's way
worse
things.
It's not the end of the world.
Way worse things.
They try to make it out like this is the worst thing. Obviously, it's a sign that society is failing. These kids are attacking the Easter Bunny. Like we said earlier, first of all, I think it's pretty normal.
Well, I don't want to normalize attacking the Easter Bunny, but I think it happened.
Kids doing dumb stuff like that is pretty normal.
It happened. Yeah. People are like, this is the first time it's ever happened. And I'm like, no.
No.
I promise you, someone's punched the Easter Bunny before.
There's a reason I go to another gas station when I pull into it and see a bunch of 13-year-olds.
Because teenagers are known to punch the Easter Bunny for unprovoked.
Yeah. They're just known to, attack sometimes. They're bored. They're looking for something to do. And that seems perfectly on brand for 13-year-olds. I'm not too worried about it. I think, you know, slap on the wrist. They don't need to go to juvie for this. Don't need to pull them out of school and put them in juvie just because it was the Easter Bunny.
Make them go to church. Yeah, and learn about Easter. Sounds horrible.
That'd be a big punishment.
Sounds horrible.
Be a big punishment.
Now you have to go to church on Easter.
Yeah, make them go, I don't know, a certain amount of time, like a sentence.
Until they make them, you know, answer a test about what Easter's really about. I don't know what it's about, so.
I don't know either. But I know that I had to go to church. And I know
Resurrection, is that right?
Yeah, it's the end.
Shut up.
End of Lent.
No one cares what you know.
And no one really cares what Easter is.
He's grumpy.
No one cares what Easter is either. That's the bottom line.
Don't.
Lazo had a replacement for it that I really loved.
Balloon Man.
And he celebrated with his kids. And
you
so
don't
now,
do it anymore?
His kids are older.
They're old. We don't do anything.
Oh, still.
We go to baseball games for Easter.
Balloon Man was forever.
I know. It was. It was the greatest. I don't know if it was the only holiday that Lazo ever came up with.
I believe it was.
Can you give a really quick synopsis of it?
There was a lot to it, but, you know, it just involved Balloon Man replacing the Easter Bunny and Jesus. It kind of combines these things. You don't need Jesus or the Easter Bunny on that
day. Just came up with our own thing, the Balloon Man comes to the house. He gives kids gifts on a certain day. And I had a picture of him. And then when your kids wake up in the morning, they come down and the house will just be filled with balloons. Because Balloon Man had stopped by on Sunday morning. And so my kids would come down and the entire living room would just be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of balloons. And it was a cool little thing to do when they were little. But I don't know that they would be. If they came down and it was filled with balloons, they'd be like, what are we doing?
But other people did it. I do recall other people
Your
saying
brother
that
loved
they,
it.
Yeah, I recall other people saying that they decided to introduce it in their household and that they hope that their kids will carry it on. So I think that could be a legacy.
Yeah,
that
Easter Sunday was, for us, Balloon Man Day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you make up the story whatever you want, you know, but that was it.
It was less jarring
there
to a child
no
than
anything,
resurrection.
Right, yeah. And there was no resurrection, there was no nothing, just like, you know, hey, this dude, Balloon Man, comes on this day and drops off a bunch of balloons.
And
I mean, balloons are cheap.
Yeah.
And kids love them. Super easy. And then you don't have to talk about anything.
And that's what
they're like, well, what's the story on Balloon Man? Like, there isn't any. He's just a balloon dude. Here's a picture of him. He's made of balloons. And then on, you know, Sundays or whatever.
Whenever they do the other one.
Yeah, he rolls in.
We just make sure that we do Balloon Man Day. A man in New York, Long Island, he's 60 years old. And he says that his whole life, his family, his siblings would kind of bust his balls about, you know, oh, you're a product of mom's affair with the mailman, stuff like that, because he didn't look much like really anything like his siblings. He looked different. The other siblings kind of looked like their parents, you know, normal stuff. He did not. And he said that they never did it in a mean way, but it was always kind of a thing. Well, at 60, as I mentioned, he's 60 years old. At 60, his niece takes one of these DNA tests. You know, these, 23andMe's, I don't know which one is still in business, but she took one of these DNA tests, and she finds out, somehow through this DNA test, that this guy, she's not related to this guy, right? Like, the two of you are not related. And I can imagine that there's only a couple people in the family that have done the DNA test. I know the one person I can think of in my family that's done it is a niece. It's not even a niece. It's a cousin's daughter. I don't know what that is, but it's like, I know someone in the family, but it's not like the whole family's done it. I don't know about you and your family, if your mom took them too, or if you, if your sister took them, but it feels like the kind of thing where there's a couple people. And when they use it to catch criminals, that's always how it is. That's about as close as they get. They get one, and then the next closest person who took a DNA test was like an uncle or a great uncle. So through this, he finds out, I am not the child of my parents. I am not related.
He's adopted?
To my brothers. Well, that's what he wanted to know. He wanted to figure it out. So he starts.
Brothers could be adopted.
Right. Except that, remember, the brothers had been making fun of him for saying that he didn't look like he was related to anybody. Okay. He was the odd man out. So they start looking into it, finds out that he was switched at birth at a hospital, and he is now suing the hospital in New York.
Like switched on purpose?
No, switched on accident. Switched, they said, before his lawyer was saying, before the birth certificates were even handed out, they switched him up at birth on accident.
I gotta think that happens a lot.
There were people with similar names in the hospital, and especially back then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe just as much now. I don't know if there's anything different about it. I've heard that now they put like a special wristband.
They do, and if the baby gets too far away from you,
yeah, right.
Then it goes off, ding, ding, ding.
Okay,
ding.
I thought there was some sort of
yeah, and like if the baby's wristband goes outside of the doors, then it immediately locks down.
Okay. No one can kidnap
the
baby.
No one can get out. Yeah, no one can kidnap it. So, you're right. It's probably less. But back then, yeah, there's like a bunch of babies and a bunch of little... I've just seen the movies, and they're all next to each other.
Yeah.
Seems like a nurse, two nurses could get up, feed the babies or whatever, and then put them back into the wrong thing.
Yeah. And these guys had the same last name. They weren't related to one another, but they had the same last name. They're both McMahon. So they're both being born close together. You've got two McMahons there, and the nurse goes over and grabs the wrong McMahon. So they raised the wrong kid.
Even when my siblings joked that you were the mailman's kid, it was never done maliciously. It was just an observation, like he doesn't look anything like us.
He learned after his niece took an over-the-counter DNA test that he wasn't related to his family at all. A little digging into birth records, Kevin learned he was switched at birth with another male baby named Ross McMahon.
There's no mystery as to what happened. Jamaica Hospital switched the babies, and the DNA proves it.
So while his siblings may not have been...
So what happened to the other guy?
Mean about
it. Did
they
find him?
You know what? I don't know where the other guy is. I just see here that, I don't know, maybe because he hasn't come forward and said anything yet. Maybe they're not talking about him. Or maybe read more into the story. But
it seems like that'd be a big part of the story. Like, and the other guy, what happened to him?
Yeah, this guy says his siblings.
I like
siblings,
to know that.
His siblings, I'll see if it's in the Bible.
Did you read all the story?
Here.
Did they get to?
Well, I was reading it right as we were going on the air here. That's what I was doing. Well, no, I didn't get to the very end of
it. Because if there's the other dude, that makes it really interesting.
That's what it says. There's one sentence that just says he's not involved.
He's not involved.
That's what it says. He's not involved.
He's obviously involved.
I know. But
he's one of the two kids.
I'm assuming they mean in the lawsuit, but it just says he's not involved.
Well, he's involved in the situation.
Yeah, I guess we don't have a quote from him. I guess he hasn't come forward because this
What's his name?
His name's Ross. The other guy's Kevin.
Ross McMahon.
Ross McMahon and Kevin McMahon. Yeah, and they got switched at birth. And this guy who's suing, his grandmother... She did believe that he didn't look like he was related. His paternal grandmother.
Would it be crazy if it was Vince McMahon's kid?
It might be. Is it supposed to
be? Here comes the money. Money.
She convinced her son, this guy's dad.
Ross O'Mack.
Yeah, right?
The grandmother on the dad's side.
That's his real name. That's insane. I have no idea. If it's Shane McMahon, that would be awesome.
Well, dude, that's always the hope, is that there's a bunch of money. If you take one of these DNA tests, like I thought for a minute that my dad might be related to this auto parts family that made a bunch of money. Who knows? Because I found out that there was a biological name that was the same. I've never taken the DNA test, though, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But this guy says that his dad began to believe that he was illegitimate and that his wife had an affair because his mother, this guy's grandmother, had convinced him of this. And so his dad started abusing him. His grandmother abused him and his dad abused him this whole time because he thought, my wife has had an affair. Now, look, I don't condone abuse any way, shape, or form. But if you're going to abuse someone, wouldn't you be mad at your wife for having the affair? Why are you taking it out on the kid? Like, divorce your wife. If your mother convinces you, like, hey, that's not your kid, she's had somebody else's kid, she definitely had an affair, and you believe it, then just get divorced. You have to raise the kid in hell for however many years, 18 years that this kid went through. So, I don't know, would you sue the hospital? Would you even think to sue the hospital?
Well,
because you're the guy, though, who got falsely arrested in your front yard. I was thinking I might not think to sue
I'm
the hospital.
I'm guessing once the story came out, though, he was contacted by lawyers.
I'm sure. This lawyer's doing a lot of the talking.
Yeah, as soon as he was like, hey, I got switched to birth, lawyer's like, I got you.
Yeah. So, there you go. Yeah. What do you think that's worse?
I mean, maybe, would they have to prove in court that his life is worse?
That, I don't know. I mean,
happened to the other guy? Like, if the other guy's, like, strung out and his parents were jerks, right?
Then
like
that's
a crack dealer and a prostitute.
You don't have a case.
Right. Then you're like, well, dude.
But that's why this guy's saying he was abused.
The other guy should sue.
I think that's why this guy has to bring up that he was abused, that his dad abused him because he thought he was illegitimate, right? Like, things were so bad for me. So I don't know. Look, if I was on a jury, I'd give him a few million bucks at least. You were supposed to
hospital?
Yeah, why not? Hospitals pay out stuff like that all the time, don't they?
I have no idea. I'm sure. I don't know. How could you prove that they're the ones who switched them, though?
Well, I don't know that they're even really at this point disputing that they switched them. I mean, they're saying that they got switched up at the hospital. I didn't see anywhere where the hospital said.
Well, I feel like anybody could be like, I got switched at Kmart.
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible. Possible. Just that they had the same last names.
I got switched in preschool. I don't know where you got switched.
Could be.
How do you know it was here?
McMahon's, you went to daycare and there's two McMahon's.
Yeah, two McMahon's. Your name's close enough. Like, I don't know.
Babies look the same.
Crazy set of circumstances, but you guys are in the same place and they got switched. How do we know?
You're right. If I was the hospital, I'd say prove it.
I
prove
would.
It. How are you going to prove it?
Switched here.
Yeah, because you can't. There's no way you
There's
can prove
absolutely
it.
Absolutely no way. The Church of Laszlo. Yo.
Yo.
All right, so Bon Jovi.
Yeah, and his wife.
Is causing homelessness.
Well, he's creating a homelessness problem, according to the mayor of Toms River.
And I've heard of Toms River.
I had not. I was very confused. Well, I thought that was the mayor's
name. I know it, but one of the things is like they won the Little League World Series a couple times.
Okay, so they're good at baseball.
Yeah, Little League World Series. But I think I remember in 2010 it said they beat Japan, which was a big deal. These kids from Toms River, New Jersey, beat Japan in a Little League World Series. And there was other stuff. The Jersey Shore, that took place in Toms River.
Oh, okay.
And then Boardwalk Empire, did you watch that?
Yeah.
Toms River.
Really?
So there you go.
Okay.
They say it's a bedroom community of New York City.
Okay, which is kind of a lot of New Jersey, right? I think of New Jersey, being kind of a bedroom community.
Yeah, there's people who live in Jersey who say they've never even been in New York.
Sure.
So
yes.
It's a big state.
Yes,
sure.
Yes. So John Bon Jovi, he's married to Dorothea. That's his wife's name.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I know her? Is she popular?
Nope. I'm just giving you the name because it comes up a lot. The two of them started this, a restaurant called JBJ Soul Kitchen.
They, John Bon Jovi's.
Yep. Partnered with some other nonprofit organizations that try to help the needy, at least in the article that I found from 2016, which is when this thing launched. And the idea is to feed people who maybe are going through a tough time, right?
Okay, that's nice.
And there, you can see pictures. If you look up JBJ Soul Kitchen, you'll see pictures of him and his wife at the location. Now, the brick-and-mortar location is in Red Bank, New Jersey, okay? I looked it up. It's got, like, 5 stars on Yelp or whatever. It's got perfect reviews. It looks like a normal restaurant, but you start reading about this and you realize that they, like, have a mission. So Dorothea and John Bon Jovi are now at odds with the Toms River mayor. His name's Daniel Roderick. He's accused the couple's JBJ Soul Foundation of running a soup kitchen and drawing people who are homeless to the Ocean County Library. So they've got their local library branch there in Toms River, the Ocean County Library. He's accused the county commissioners of turning the library's downtown Toms River branch into a, quote, day shelter and soul kitchen. That's all in quotes. And said that the county had ignored his complaints and concerns. JBJ Soul Foundation has operated for 9 years.
Right, it's got a picture of him cooking. John Bon Jovi cooking.
Yeah, I went through and was scrolling through some pictures.
Looks
like a real restaurant. Looks like a nice place. And the pictures of the food look good, right? It says between the Toms River and Red Bank location, the foundation has served more than 200,000 meals. That's according to a spokesperson.
Community dining with dignity.
Yeah.
All are welcome at our table where locally sourced ingredients, dignity, and respect are always on the menu.
Sounds like a nice thing, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, if you're out there working on the docks.
Right. Listening to Billy Joel?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Johnny worked at the docks. His girlfriend was a waitress. They were down on their luck.
Yeah.
You know?
And when you're out there.
You're down there, you know, you're down on your luck. Yeah, roll into JBJ Soul Kitchen, right?
Yeah. Not to mention, if you're on the lam, if you're wanted, you know?
Right? Yeah, heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid. And you know that if they catch you, it's dead or alive, then you need a place like this. So the first place was in Red Bank, whatever it's called. Now they've got this place in Toms River, and now they've got this temporary location that's at the Ocean County Library. Now, in the spot where they're at, I guess it used to be a Dunkin' Donuts. It's still weird to call it Dunkin', until the pandemic. And so it sounds to me like it's been just sort of sitting there since then. That opened in February. Same premise as the other one, provide meals at a lower price and all that. It is not a soup kitchen. They want you to know that. It's not a soup kitchen. You can't just walk in and get a free meal. That's what it says. It says, those who are in need trade volunteer hours at the Soul Kitchen in exchange for a meal. It's part of a larger program that connects those in need with services including job searches, finding housing assistance, connections with mental health support, and more. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the mayor, this Roderick guy, it says his comments about the foundation's library pop-up facility.
Do you think they have signs like those yellow signs in the kitchen that just say slippery when wet? That would be awesome.
Dude.
They have to lean into that.
You know what?
They have to,
I saw a picture of a yellow sign. Hold on.
It has to say Slipper.
Oh, no. It says All Are Welcome at Our Table. But you can see, I saw this little paper. I was like, maybe they did have that sign, but no, it's a little placard at the table. So they've got this pop-up location. The mayor's mad about it, and he says, basically, look, you've brought a bunch of homeless people into the area. Mm-hmm. They're now hanging out at the library, and this is because of you. They wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Now, John Bon Jovi Soul Foundation and Soul Kitchen, they say they're committed to ending homelessness, and they're looking for real solutions to try and end homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, they think that this is in, I gather, poor taste, that the mayor would be so mad. I mean,
sure. You
know, usually, if the mayor is dealing with homelessness, like I live in Kansas City, it seems like if they ask the mayor about homelessness, they're asking about, what do you think about this massive camp? And he may say, like, we might need to relocate that camp or whatever. But what you don't normally hear is a mayor come out and say, I think this charity is bringing a bunch of homeless people into the area. Now, maybe they do, but I can't recall a time.
Ooh, people are just wild in the streets.
Just wild in the streets. And that mayor should have said that. If he didn't, he should have said that. The mayor is very upset. And, you know, I don't know if picking a fight with John Bon Jovi is a smart move or not in New Jersey.
Yeah, probably not. But, I mean, I understand what he's saying. Just a bunch of runaways there, right?
I guess it's, yeah. What do your constituents hate more? Right. John Bon Jovi little or runaways? Homelessness? Or little runaways? Right. Which is it?
Hey, everybody. We are here to celebrate our 200,000th meal at the JBJ Soul Kitchens.
We are not a soup kitchen.
No.
We are not a pay-what-you-want restaurant.
No.
We are a unique pay-it-forward model where those who are unable to pay volunteer their time. Those who can pay for their meal, and donate to pay it forward.
So, you know, look, you're the mayor. I'm sure people are upset that there's a bunch of homeless.
John Bon Jovi's just like, hey, if you're down on your luck, I'll be there for you, right? Like, yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
And the mayor's like, no.
I can't help you because you've now more than exhausted my knowledge of John Bon Jovi's
songs. Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like, you know, John Bon Jovi's just there, you know, like, you know, hey, dignity, respect, you know, and then the mayor's like, we don't want dignity and respect, and John Bon Jovi's like, you give love a bad name, and then the mayor's like, screw
you. I know
you.
That.
Right?
I know that, yeah.
You haven't done halfway there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't?
I mean, some of these people are just living on a prayer.
Well, yeah, because that'll work.
The mayor's trying to give them bad medicine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe the reason they're there is because they got bad medicine.
Well, we don't know the reason. Well,
yeah, we don't know the reason. But one of these spokespeople, a deputy commissioner, said to the newspaper up there, he said, look, the matter of homelessness, it shouldn't be about placing blame or calling people out. It's not productive. We need to work together, find an outcome. Since COVID, we've seen homelessness begin rising. It's not just here. It's universal. So, you know, whose side are you on?
People going down in a blaze of glory, and then, you know, he's there to help pick them up, right?
I guess so. Who would you vote for? You're living there, you vote for John Bon Jovi, does he have your support? Or, I guess you can't really, you're not likely at least to say publicly on the radio. It's not like you're going to say, I'm for the mayor. That would annoy me that homeless people are everywhere. You're not going to say that.
I would definitely say that.
You would? Okay, so then, it sounds like you're about to say it. So you support the mayor then? You think it's reasonable to be annoyed by John Bon Jovi?
If Metcalf was overrun with homeless people?
Yeah.
You as
I have
mayor
a problem with homeless people?
Like if, yeah.
Well, then, you as the mayor of Metcalf.
Yeah.
Oh,
if some celebrities decided to do a Soul Kitchen.
But this is different, right? If they were like, hey, you know, like when I lived in Detroit, there was a homeless camp that I think they just made themselves. And when you tried to drive out of my driveway, there was like one dude who was always shadow boxing in the middle of the street, and then another person covered in their own urine. Those two guys were always there. And I thought, maybe we could, I don't want to say relocate them somewhere. But relocate them out of my driveway would be, you know, step one. I would like that. But this is a completely different thing. This dude's just opening up a restaurant,
yeah,
helping people out, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds to me like it's not permanent. Well, I guess one of them is, but doing this pop-up thing.
Well, it seems like it's like a nice place, and other people are going there, too, and you're kind of mixing with each other and trying to do something good.
Exactly.
It sounded like when I was in Detroit, it was just literally a dirt field, and I think the cops were like, yeah, we're not going to drive by there.
Right.
You're like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like we could do more. My idea would be do more. Make more of these restaurants so people can go and, you know, meet other people.
That's what the mayor should be doing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He should pretend like he's into this and be like, I'm going to open another location and just do it somewhere away from his city. Because he says that they're bringing in homeless from all across the county and all across the state, like that this is attracting them, right, to his town. And it kind of reminds me of the sheriff in Rambo, you know? Like, just keep moving. Brian Dennehy or whatever. Like, all right, look, buddy, you gotta keep going. It feels kind of like that old school attitude, especially in this case where the mayor is feuding with a celebrity who is doing a bunch of charity work and apparently does a lot of charity work and has been doing it for quite some time. So it feels like a weird fight to pick, but he did. And
it seems like something he just wouldn't like, but I don't know. Maybe he's like,
but it could be.
I don't know. Toms River, let me just say this. Toms River, I looked at it, has a lot of famous people from there. And also has, I don't know, I'm guessing it's pretty affluent when your Little League team wins the world Little League World Series, right? Okay. I just don't ever think those kids are from a bad part of town when they go play that. So maybe the mayor's like, if I want to get elected again, I'm going to get these homeless people out of here.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, maybe this all sounds good. And look, I get it, Bon Jovi. You get to go to your mansion in a gated community. But these other people are doing pretty well, are pretty tired of dudes shadowboxing and pissing on themselves in front of their driveway.
Yeah.
And I get it. They're going in there and getting organically sourced dinners, but, you know, not here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and it seems to me like this mayor, they talked about how there's only a couple of counties in the state that don't have overnight shelters for people, and that this is one of them. And I got the impression that the mayor would like to keep it that way, that maybe he's not real big on this sort of outreach. But it could just be, you know, I shouldn't put words in his mouth. It could just be that this particular charitable work that John Bon Jovi and his wife are doing, and these other organizations that work with them, is somehow causing a problem. Maybe he just thinks there's too many people in one space. He seems to have a problem with people being at the library, and it's got to change. Maybe that's it. But, man, it seems like the kind of thing when you're an elected official that you keep to yourself. I don't know, though. You know what? Again, I can see people absolutely being like, man, he went out there and he said it. That these people that secretly are annoyed anytime they see someone, instead of wanting to help, they just think to themselves, get out of here. The whole Dave Chappelle, Oscar the Grouch thing, get out of my way, Grouch. We know that a lot of people are like that. So maybe this plays. But I don't know. If there was a pop-up restaurant over by Laszlo's house that was attracting a lot of homeless people.
I like the idea of the restaurant and, you know, helping out.
But if it attracted a lot of people hanging around.
It was just a field where they just poured dirt in it, like where I grew up, and just were like, hey, bring a tent or whatever, crap yourself, we don't care, we're not going to police it.
But what if
they're... I'm like, you could help those people and put a restaurant there and get them to work.
And what if they're wandering around your neighborhood now because they've opened this pop-up thing? Like, there's a lot of people just kind of strolling through the neighborhood, walking around. You would be okay with that? I don't know. It happens. Whenever they moved my city's homeless camp, you may know more about it than me. They ended up in my neighborhood. Because remember they busted up that camp in Westport? I think it was in Westport. When they broke that up.
Yeah, that big Westport Triangle, that huge one.
People spread, and a lot of them just ended up in our neighborhood. And they've been there ever since. It could just be that also the homelessness problem continues to seem to grow and get worse and worse. Obviously, it's not like California or anything, but it is a bigger problem than it was when we were kids. So try and be sympathetic.
No, it's like just whatever you do when a homeless person shows up, you just look at them and say, you know, welcome to wherever you are.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so you die, and you're told you get to come back. You get to be reincarnated, but you get to be reincarnated as an animal. You can't be a human because you just did that. You got to choose something else, but you get to choose what the animal is that you want to be. And when people did this, they seemed to get pretty specific. I mean, they were even choosing, like, you know, if they were going to be a pet, who's what type of person's pet they'd want to be. So I guess you're allowed to throw that stuff out there. Now, I will say, when you think about what kind of animal you want to be when you come back, I thought it was funny.
It's got to be an animal.
It's got to be an animal that's not human. I did think it was funny that some people said things that you should avoid, and one of them was like, a pet hamster. I never had hamsters. That's probably part of it. But also, you hear every friend that had hamsters, it's like the hamster was, they forgot to feed it out and died in the wall.
Number one choice, I guess, for most people would be like a house cat.
That's what you would think, right?
Right.
You're
kind of just taking care of your pet, but you don't really need anybody.
Right. And like I said, since people are kind of being even more specific about what kind of owner, not necessarily the specific person, but what kind of owner they would want. They get a little more specific than that. Like, so do you have one, though? Is that yours, house cat?
I mean, that was my first thought. Do I got a...
I feel like a house cat seems...
easy?
Easy. Like, it feels like it's happy enough, especially the ones that go outside. When I walk the dogs at night, there's...
outside.
I'm just saying that...
danger out there.
But there are cats that... every cat I've ever had that didn't go outside, it whined and complained about not being able to go outside. So if it goes outside, it seems like once they go out there, most of the time, they just hang out in the yard and sort of watch you walk by. So if that's what you want, you have the freedom to do that.
I just want to say, cats like all seem happy. New York City artsy couple.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a big flat that I can walk around. It's got big windows. I can lay in the sun. I probably got my own little, you know, thing that I can climb up and get high, sure. Knock over plants if I get pissed or whatever.
The cat apartment.
But that's about it.
Yeah, they said that number 10 was house cat of a childless woman.
Well,
a woman with no children.
Two people. But
or empty nest.
Plus, but to watch them have sex and argue and drink too much.
Yeah.
Like, there's some excitement there, too.
Lesbian couple was right under it.
Yeah, sure.
So, but yeah, you know, if the cat lady... if a cat lady's a cat lady, I'm pretty sure she's loving those cats. I've known some cat ladies, and there sometimes can be too many cats, but even then, she's loving on all of them. They get the attention, they get the treats. I might say, though, that I would want to be Laszlo's cat, because Laszlo lets his cat eat treats
all day
for dinner and breakfast and lunch. So that might actually be a better deal. That I could see the cat lady trying to feed me healthy food and take me to the vet all the time. Like, how
we get to talk about like who the owners are too.
That's what I'm saying. People did so
like,
they're not specific.
About, like, goldfish and like the Bada Bing, like where you just see mob guys talking about stuff. You see dudes getting whacked, but you're just a goldfish floating around. You got nothing to do.
Yeah.
He was watching them kill each other and talk mafia secrets.
I didn't see goldfish on the list, but...
I'm just thinking that you don't got to do much. Like, you don't have to move very much.
Goldfish in New Jersey.
Laszlo's adding in kind of the idea that it's sentient.
What's wrong with that?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like somewhere tropical, you know.
Like to be out in the ocean? Yeah.
That's dangerous. I mean, I want to be in the Bada Bing.
I get that.
You know? Where the mafia guys are all talking, you get to see all that stuff, you know, right up close. You know things. You know everything that's going on.
But if you're goldfish...
about a goldfish in, you know, the president's office, something like that, where you just, you know, it's all cool stuff you're watching.
But if you're a goldfish, I don't think you know what's going on other than that you're in that jar, right?
Well, I guess I'm thinking that it's us.
Right. I don't think that's what people were doing, but I get what you're saying. If you're going to be in the body of that thing, you're sentient.
Yeah.
Because one of the things...
I'm reincarnated as it. So.
Right. One of the things people chose, a lot of people, they said they specifically wanted to come back as something non-sentient. Maybe even something that isn't really conscious. So some sort of creature that just sort of reacts, a singled cell organism or something like that, because they don't want to deal with anxiety and stress and all that anymore. But I think a lot of animals don't deal with that if they're not out in the wild being hunted, you know? I think a lot of pets at home aren't scared all that often.
Conscious. The question doesn't make any sense if I'm not conscious of it. If I'm not conscious of it and it's not me inside that cat, then what do I care? Send me back as whatever. I don't know.
Well, some animals have it better than others. I guess.
Yeah,
what do
I care? Because I'm not aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's what it is. Is that you will
be sending it.
Your brain will just be limited to whatever that animal's brain is limited to. But we can do it your way, too.
Well, yeah, because if you do it that way, then if you do it the other way, just to me, like, then I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of it. It doesn't hurt me at all. Whatever. Send me back as a test rabbit in a shampoo company because I don't know.
Well, there are things like, you know, people picked, well, I'll get to it, but there are some smart animals on there where if God said, okay, there you go, you chose this animal, I think you'd be somewhat aware, but I'm also assuming that you don't have memories of your human time. So, yeah,
well,
I get what you're saying.
Right,
but
you know what's going on. You have your own.
So the house cat of childless woman or lesbians was number 10. Number 9 was a grizzly bear, and that was because people like the idea of hibernating. I don't know much about grizzly bears. I do recall something about how...
still feels like, I don't know, I guess maybe people like it. It still feels like I got to go down to a river and hunt salmon.
Exactly.
I'm not interested.
And
I might die.
Be scared.
Know.
Right, be scared of someone shooting me.
I am kind of a badass, but still, right, someone might shoot me.
Yeah, it's better than
being other
things.
I may not get salmon. I may go down to the river, there's no salmon. I don't like that.
Right.
Sucks.
Right. They start building houses where you are going to raise your family, whatever it is. I get why people are... It's better than a lot of other... animals out in the wild. It's kind of an apex predator, but it's still, I just assume there's a lot of
danger,
uncertainties, fears, and danger. Right.
Right. There's no danger.
Looking for food. The house cat doesn't really feel that stuff. I don't put the house cat above that. So then, so that was number nine. The non-sentient, whatever, I don't want to basically be conscious, which I thought was funny. That's number eight. Number seven is orca / blue whale, really just any type of, I don't know what other type of whales are, but being able to go through the ocean, being that big, not having to worry about shark attacks because you're this giant animal in the ocean and just living that life in the ocean.
You got Japanese people.
Exactly. You got whalers.
Yeah.
And boats running over you.
Maybe better as an octopus. You're smart. You can change colors. Yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
They say octopuses are super smart.
Super smart. They might take over one day. You know?
So I probably picked that over the big whale.
I feel like the whale's got plenty of problems. I understand it would be cruel.
Like, I'm going extinct, so they got problems.
They got real problems. Yeah. Or you get caught and you're put in a SeaWorld show. You know?
That wouldn't be bad. If you said orca in a SeaWorld show.
Oh, you'd prefer that?
Yeah,
because now you've taken right your back. Gotten rid of the risk of getting hit by a boat. You're just in prison.
Perform for people at Disney World or SeaWorld or whatever. It'd be fun.
Do they still do that at all, or is that all done?
What, SeaWorld?
Like with the whale shows. Do they still
do that?
They
still have
them. They still do? Okay. Yeah. I remember that documentary.
I just don't think people ride them because they got eaten.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I saw something like a week or two ago that a trainer got hurt, and OSHA was looking into it because a trainer got hurt. I think it was SeaWorld. I didn't know if they still did the whale shows or not. So, whales is seven. Number six.
What about a donkey in a Tijuana donkey show?
That, my friend, is... You read my mind.
Were you? Did you already pick that?
I wanted to be one of these animals that sees some S. And with the goldfish, you know what I mean? That's what kind of inspired the idea.
Watch this donkey bang this chick. You're like, yeah.
When you said it, I was like, what's an animal that sees some things? And then I thought of that donkey in the sombrero at the bachelor party. In Tijuana, I was like, that animal sees some things. It sees some things. And I think it gets to do some things. Yeah. Right. So,
especially if you show that you knew how.
Yeah, I don't think, after we've now made you aware of this, you really can't choose any other animal, can you? I mean, come on, that's the best choice.
It took me a while to get there, but the party donkey's it, right?
I think that's the one. Billionaire's Chihuahua was number six. Billionaire's small dog. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is something to being like that little dog that Paris Hilton carries around all the time.
It gets to go
holds
everywhere.
Against her breasts. And
yeah. If you knew that you could be Paris Hilton's dog specifically, it sounds pretty good. Number five, golden retriever of an upper middle class family.
Yeah,
I guess it's because you have a whole family.
Well.
They love you. Whatever.
They get you exercise and stuff. But I'd rather be the cat in that house.
I kind of lean that way too. And I'm a dog person, but just like which animal seems to be stressed less or just happier overall? Cats just seem awfully sure of themselves, and no animal I've ever been around can relax more than a cat.
On the adult. So even if you say upper middle class, but maybe the kid kicks the dog or whatever. Like the cat can hide, move. Like you got more.
You don't want to be a pet when really if there's kids in the house versus no kids.
But as a cat, you can just be in another room the entire time. Hard to find.
Because I messed with my cat when I was a kid. According to my parents, like threw one of my cats off of because my brother told me the cats always land on their feet. So I took the cat and I dropped it off of the balcony.
And
it hurt itself pretty bad, but it did land on its feet, according to my brother. I mean, I don't know. It was too little. I don't remember. But golden retriever is five. Number four is, and I kind of like this, an instinct animal of any type that only shows itself once in a while just to keep the conspiracy theories going that you exist. Yeah, I heard a professor... crap all over that. He said it's not really a dire wolf. He said, look, you can, we only have so much technology when it comes to gene editing and all this stuff. He's like, we can't bring back animals that didn't exist. What we've done is
winter is coming.
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, what we've done is we've taken a gray wolf and we've made it more similar to a dire wolf, but it's not actually a dire wolf. I was disappointed, Snowcone. Trust me, I saw that Dire Wolf was here, and I thought, great.
Stalks have returned.
I was just thinking Jurassic Park is next. They've been working on this woolly mammoth thing forever, so if they've got the Dire Wolf, they can bring back the dodo. I only want to see the dodo because, they talked about it in elementary school, and I never actually saw one. But I'm all for it. I'm all for the Jurassic Park, even though those movies warned us of the risks, I would still absolutely buy tickets to go to Jurassic Park, as I think we all would. There's no doubt about that.
For sure.
But yeah, that I don't know what school this guy was a professor at.
We don't have the technology to modify entire genomes. We can modify components of genomes, and we can certainly sequence genomes. So, yes, they have slightly genetically modified wolves, maybe. Does that make it a dire wolf? No.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot. Whatever, dude. Go back to your class and be lonely. Number three, old lady's little yappy dog. Number two, I really liked, it's a seagull at the beach. Because the idea of being a bird of flight is enticing. Right? We've all wanted to fly, and I was thinking, what kind of bird? Perfect. Then I thought, oh, I could be a bald eagle. They're cool. No one messes with them.
They're very protected.
Yes, they're very protected. No one messes with them. And I could fly into Canada every time the United States is about to have some face-off and just land out front, you know what I mean, to mess with them. But the seagull at the beach is pretty good. And number one I thought was really dumb, but people liked it. The idea of being a panda at a well-funded zoo because you're so... Yeah, but you're still at the zoo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay, I guess.
Party.
They're rolling around.
Man, there's nothing better than party.
The donkey at the Tijuana.
I guess, like, during the day, like, little kids ride you around.
Yeah.
You got, like, glitter on and sunglasses and you smoke cigars.
Yeah.
And then at night, you're at, like, Senior Frogs or whatever, bachelorette parties.
Dude.
Standing against the wall.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, like, I mean...
It's the best.
Yeah, you're just watching... Tequila destroy young men. It's awesome.
And then you
there's
get to do what you
got
get
that little sombrero
do.
On and that multicolored saddle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just walking around there.
And then they bring her in.
And the people love you.
Yeah.
People love
and
the
you
donkey.
You love people.
Right. And then you walk in, like, people salute the party donkey.
Absolutely.
They're like, dude, party donkey's here. He just rolled in to see your frog.
Because you always heard about it. Now you know it's for real.
You walk up and down the street all by yourself. You don't really have an owner. People just love you, man.
Oh, yeah, you get in for free everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah, you walk in. It's a bachelorette party. People go crazy. You got those shades on. Party donkey just walked in. Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
All-time greatest grunge band, Canada Box.
You mean that. No, I don't think you.
I don't think they're
all time
good, but I do like them.
I know you love them.
I do like them.
A lot. But I'm guessing you think Pearl Jam.
I do like Pearl Jam.
Greatest, probably. So you don't have one of these like little tricks to try and help you save money? You're unhinged, as they call it?
No, I wish I did. Like, I mean, you know, I try to sign out of Amazon, but it doesn't work.
Well, that's close. That's,
you know, but I get the idea behind it. I've tried things.
Yeah, that's right. We've done that. Deleting the app on your phone. And
making you log in through the web, but still, you know, I still got to find myself there.
Right, because at some point you actually need something. You download the app, you sign in, and then you leave it signed in.
Yep.
But we, you know, a lot of us at least have tried it. And people who are good with money probably don't do these things, but if you are bad with money, then you're probably familiar with these things. Do you do any of these things, Snowcone? I know one of the things you do is you don't bet the White Sox to lose, which you should be doing. So that's bad way.
Neither do you.
I've done it 2 days
until
in a row now.
Yesterday.
Yeah, and today's my second day. So
whatever.
At least I'm on the train. You were supposed to start first, but you don't have any of these little tricks?
I don't know. I haven't heard of them yet.
I'm just asking if there's something that comes to mind.
Personal,
like, yeah, okay. Yeah. So these are some of the other ones. So I told you mine is to set up these other accounts open, especially when I see those commercials for, you know, it's free online only checking and it's just an app. And I'm like, oh, I'm downloading that right now. I have an account that was one of those online-only banks. I cannot remember the name of it. So not only do I not know my username or password, I can't remember the name of it. I stopped direct depositing money into it, but somewhere there is a small amount of money in that account that I can get to if the company's still in business. But obviously, that trick doesn't really work, but I still try it. So some of the other things that people do. One person said that what they do is they think of it as if they're stealing from themselves. So they try to remember how much time it took to earn the money that they have. Even if it's just, you know, your streaming service costs $30. Yeah. How long did it take me to make that? And then if I take it, they imagine that it's someone stealing from them. They're stealing from them from themselves, and that's what they try to do. So, okay, that's great, but, you know, I don't think that's going to work for me. Someone else said they think about the fact that they may never retire. And that by thinking about the fact that they may have to work for the rest of their life, like, you know, at least until they're able to. So they said, imagine working until you're 85 years old and you're still working, you know, at 85, that encourages them to save money. I already assume I'm going to work until I die. Maybe it's because I watched my dad do it. I don't know. But I've never really planned to be retired. I know I do have a 401k. I don't count on that much.
Right.
Do you?
No.
It's that, yeah, but not enough to like allow you to retire for years. It's just not.
Well, I'm hoping.
You are hopeful. Okay. You're hoping that you can
at
do
some
it.
Point, maybe.
I mean, it would be great. Don't get me wrong, but I can't. I really can't imagine that I'll ever be in a position to actually, unless I just can't work anymore. My thing is like, once I get to a point where I can't work, either I can't find work or I'm not well enough, that then I'll need that money.
Yeah.
If I live a few more months or whatever, because that's about how long I'm guessing that money would last me. Unless someone pays for it. So if my wife pays for it, if she has a great retirement, if her family leaves money, I don't think so. No, I don't think she has. I think I might have more in retirement than she does, unfortunately. So, but you know, she's making more money these days. So who knows? Then this person said their trick is pretend it costs even more. You make a rule: if you wouldn't pay three times as much what it actually costs, then it's not worth what they're charging.
None of this is going to trick my brain.
Well, it might. Would you pay three times what it costs?
I'd be like, oh, when I pay $20 for this, no, but it's only six. So.
See, well, I'll do the opposite.
My brain, I'll figure it out. My brain's not like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, who cares?
I do the opposite a lot, which is bad because I'll say, I should cut back on some of these. Let's just use streaming services. We always use that because it's a monthly fee. I should cut back on these streaming services. But then what I always do is think, well, what else costs $30? What else have I spent $30 on this week? And then I look at it and I go, well, that was boring and sucked. And I hated that I had to spend $30 on that. I'd rather have a month's worth of Netflix.
Sure.
So I do the exact opposite, which is a problem. I rationalize that, oh, it's really not that much money. It's not going to help. None of it helps. Just keep spending all of it. Another one is calculating how long you'd have to work to pay for it. So how much time does it take? How many hours does it take? Minutes, whatever.
Yeah, that doesn't work for us because we don't work a lot of hours. So.
But I've done that. I mean, certainly if you look at like, if now maybe not for something $20,
right.
But if you look at something that's somewhat expensive, I've definitely thought that. Like, I wonder, do I make that in a day? Does it take 3 days to make that? You know
I have a number. Like, say it's $300, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's under $300 and I really want it, then I'll get it. If it's over $300, I won't.
Okay.
But that is a number. And so in my head, like, you know, that just stops me from buying TVs and other stuff. You know, like, okay. That's the number. If it's under that, then fine. But if it's over that, and then the stuff that's under that really is usually quite a bit under it.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
do that math in your head, because the stuff that you would buy that are big purchase items, be it, you know, a PS5 or a TV, right, they're all going to be over your $300 number.
That's similar to like Jay-Z's rule. He has the rule that can you buy it twice? If you can't buy it twice, then you can't buy it once.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Fair.
Well, then, you know. Wouldn't have a car, wouldn't have a house, wouldn't have a lot of things.
Right.
That'd be tough. But I get the idea of it, for
yeah,
sure.
So mine, that number's 300. If it's over 300, then
yeah,
I'm not going to get it. And then, honestly, if you just think about it, the stuff that you want that's under 300 is usually quite a bit under 300.
Exactly. I can't even really think of it.
Right. Like, what is that? That's $299, like nothing.
It doesn't exist. For me, it's all groceries because you go, okay, go back and look. What have you spent $100 on or $200 on?
Yeah,
that would be a big ticket item. It's just groceries. When I go back and look, it's groceries,
right.
groceries. And you go, okay, well, that's the stuff. And I'm going to need
it
again in
the
week.
How many times a month you do it? And I'm saying, like, there's just not that many objects.
Right.
There really isn't.
Right. No, if you want
know?
Something, if you want a big ticket item, whatever that fun thing is, like you said, a TV, PS5,
right.
whatever. It's over $300 for sure.
Right.
And once you go under $300...
the stuff under that is usually like stuff you don't really want anyway, but you feel like you have to get it, so it kind of makes it okay. Like,
that's
you know,
it.
A new rug or something.
Yeah. Maybe an $80 right? video game, I guess. There's stuff like that, but there's not much. There's not much. Someone said what they do is they say, okay, say you're looking at a t-shirt that you're thinking about buying. They imagine, and the t-shirt's $40. They imagine, okay, if someone were to hand me $40 cash right now, would I take the $40 cash or the t-shirt? Which would I want more? You can either have the t-shirt or you can have the cash. And he says that's what he tries to do, is to imagine that someone's offering him that every time.
Mm.
Which
that's better.
I kind of thought that was a decent idea.
Right.
Like, okay, I won't remember it, but all right. One of the things that people said, more than one person said, so this must have been a thing, is that you take a picture of your parents' credit card, and I guess it's supposed
to
remind you.
It?
Is that, yeah, that's what I thought at first.
Right.
Like, hey, you know, if I'm going to take this picture
of
my
parents.
How do you
save money? You steal from your parents.
You steal.
Right. I've taped this picture here, and I'll just...
Love it.
No, it's to remind you that you don't want to move in with your parents, I guess.
Oh,
you don't
want
to spend too much money and end up having to move in with your parents. Number two is make yourself run for every dollar that you spend. So if you buy something that you don't need, you don't have to use for groceries.
That and I think
and it's
that
50 bucks,
work.
You have to run for 50 minutes.
Right. I think that way I would do push-ups.
You say you've heard of this before? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard
and
of it.
And do push-ups. So it's like if you're going to spend $40 on Amazon, then you got to do 40 push-ups.
Yeah.
And if you make that deal with yourself, like really do it, it will cut you back.
I like the idea. I just know that I wouldn't.
Yeah, just be like, by the way, I'm not doing the push-ups. Yeah, but if you said, tomorrow. Like, I'm going to do
right,
it.
Right, right. Yeah, if you could actually do it, it's not bad. And then the most like common thing, and I have done this before, is going onto your apps and just locking all your credit cards, which is very similar to deleting the Amazon app off of your phone.
Locking your credit cards is smart.
But just going on there and locking all your debit cards, credit cards, whatever.
It is, because then, especially like if you do it like, and I have saved money this way. I don't do it as often as I should, but say you get home at, you're done, it's 7 o'clock at night.
You got to do it at night, yeah.
Then you just lock them all, and you say, I'm not unlocking them until the morning. If you do that, chances are, then you have to go back in, unlock
well,
it.
You like, forget.
You got to talk yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, when you go to Amazon, and you're like, oh, I'm going to buy this, you're like, it didn't go through. Well, I promised myself I wouldn't. So if like, I would think like if you just locked your credit cards and every form of payment at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
you probably save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do that.
People said that they lock them every time they're done using it. Like if they use it, they have to unlock it every time before they use it, and that way, it's just an incentive to go. You know what? This isn't worth it. I don't want to go open my app.
I lock mine, but then I just got an email from somebody that says, "Hey, your auto pay was declined."
Yeah,
so, because it's locked, and I'm like, oh. Turn it on.
That's the problem with it.
Right.
Yeah,
but
you have to figure that stuff out. But I do like the idea of it every single time, going and unlocking it, and then that would probably, in the beginning, there'd be some problems where you're in public and you go to use your card and it's declined, which is a little embarrassing. You go, oh, crap,
I don't care about that.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother you.
Especially if you just go in your card and you're like,
bothers me.
Well, you could just say I had it locked.
I know,
and
but
it,
it just
works
sounds
it.
Like an, I say
but
I have
it works
locked when
again.
It doesn't. I know.
Like, nobody questions it if it works again.
I know. I always say, like, oh, I must lock. I can't tell you how many times I've said, oh, I forgot we reported this card stolen. Hold on, let me go to the car, and then I drive off.
The Church of Laszlo.
That's it. We're done.
What did you say?
Oh, yeah, Snowcone, tell Laszlo the story about what happened to you at the gas station.
Okay, so I'm driving home, and Slim mentioned earlier, there's this FBI undercover agent who wrote a book, and he infiltrated neo-Nazi groups, biker gangs, all this, and I'm listening to his book, right? And he narrates the book, and I listen to it. I like audiobooks. I stop by the gas station I always stop at to get quads, right? I go in, I get the quads, and as I'm going to pay, which I always use my phone for tap to pay, the first time ever, I accidentally hit play
on
my Spotify, and this is what plays.
And to me, I don't care if I shot a bunch of black kids.
That's literally what played. That's the exact moment. And it's him, he's quoting these terrible people
right,
and like their plan or whatever.
And who's beyond the register?
Middle Eastern guy, young guy. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like,
you said there were guys behind you, though, right?
There was two people behind me.
Yes. Who were they?
Like a mom and her kid.
Okay.
And so I'm looking
white
around.
White mom, white kid?
Yeah, white mom, white kid. And I go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. It's an audiobook. But then I realize, like, he might wonder, like, what kind of audiobook?
Yeah, what kind of audiobook?
So then I have to start explaining, okay, it's this FBI undercover agent, and he's infiltrated these racist groups. And I'm trying to, like, be quick and stumble over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it came out terribly, but... That's what played when
it's like something out of a sitcom.
That's literally why I was like, dude.
Like it's too over the top.
It's never happened before. And that's
so did anybody say anything to you? Or?
No. The people behind me, I don't think they even heard it. But the guy at the counter was just shrugged it off, I guess.
Mm. And the people behind you didn't see it.
They didn't
guy at the counter, I'm sure, was like, I'm sure you're a racist. I'm sure
well,
you're
as I said, it's an
writing your own book.
I was like, well, that doesn't help explain it.
You've just been taking notes in the car.
Beat it, Ed Norton.
Exactly. And that's I'm not
good
surprised
show, American History X. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.